Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rutolo, also known as Miss ADD, and I want to welcome you to the Miss ADD program today. So we're continuing our series on relationships and ADHD. Last week, I was able to have a long, intimate conversation with a friend of mine who I've known for 30 years, and he was great talking about the issues that he has to deal with daily with his wife, who's ADHD and is really living in denial. So that was very difficult for him because there wasn't much hope at this point in time for change. So today, we're lucky to have another couple with us, and what we're going to focus on is really the communication piece of the relationship. Last week and the week before, we were focusing more on the resentment that builds up in a relationship between two people where one is ADHD and the other one isn't. This couple today, the gentleman has ADHD, the husband does, the wife does not, but she's really an amazing person because she wants to learn more about how to support him and really be there for him as he works on himself instead of blaming him. And she doesn't seem to have as much, as I can see, resentment as other couples as I work with. So this is somebody who's really open to really learning how to communicate better, both for herself and in the relationship. So I want to introduce now Lindsay and JP. So if you guys could just say hi to the audience.
Hello.
Okay. Hello. Okay. So everybody's on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So I have been working with JP alone now probably for about four months. And I think he's made some strides in the area of just being able to accept his ADD and to do some work on it. And so he brought his wife in, Lindsay, probably about 6 weeks ago, and we started to do some work together. And so I guess I'm going to ask Lindsay to talk first. And what is the area that you think, in terms of communication, is lacking that you really want to be able to build on with JP?
Well, I think that it would help a lot for him to not shut down whenever I bring an issue up and for him to not feel that I'm attacking him when I just want to discuss basic issues.
Okay, so basic issues.
In everyday life, you know, I mean, I would like to know what's going on with him on a regular basis, but
okay.
He usually just doesn't want to talk about it and sort of shuts down and kind of wants to keep it to himself, but
okay.
Then I don't feel involved.
Okay. So can you give me an example of what you're talking about and for the people who are listening?
Yeah, I could give an example. I would say that recently, you know, my husband got work lined up for the following week, which is, I think, cause for celebration because he was out of work for several weeks.
Okay.
And instead of sharing that with me and being happy about it, I kind of had to prod him about, you know, okay, well, did you follow up with so-and-so? Did you, you know, did you line something up? And I just kind of have to, you know, ask all these questions in order to get basic information that, yes,
okay.
He did get work and
okay.
He was not happy about it.
He didn't seem to be jumping up and down
no.
about it. Okay. And so let's just talk about what JP does. He's a tile guy, so he works with contractors, and he does really beautiful work because I've seen some pictures of it. That he works kitchens and bathrooms, is that correct,
yeah,
JP?
That's
yeah. But it's not a regular job where it's not an everyday 9-to-5 situation.
I was hoping it would be, but it's
right.
Inconsistent.
And I would think that that would be difficult for somebody with ADD to have to deal with the inconsistency of going to work.
Yeah, I was having problems on the job when I did have work, being consistent with where my tools are, or, you know, just trying to keep track of everything and run a business, that's kind of how I found out that I had, I got tested for that, and, you know, with my wife kind of suspected all along, and then the therapist that I talked to, and then they determined that I should get a test. I got tested, and it turns out I do have it. But to get back to the point of the communication issue, I think that a big part of it is that I feel guilty that I'm not contributing what I should to the family, and so I feel ashamed when it comes up, and I'm not good at talking about my shame or my guilt. And
okay.
So I take it, and I know it seems like I take offense that you're asking me, and I don't want her to think that's what it is, but it's mostly based on the guilt of not being productive and not doing what I feel like I should be doing.
Okay, so, but from what Lindsay's saying to us today is that when she tries to approach you, okay, whether you mean to come across this way or not, you do come across as being defensive,
right.
Correct?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
And so I would have to say, just for a minute, if we could digress and go back to your childhood,
sure.
That there must have been times where knowing, I'm not going to go into detail, but knowing what your childhood was like, it wasn't, you know, Mary Poppins time. It was like most of us. We had a difficult
right.
time. And so I'm sure that you were put up against a wall, not physically, but emotionally, and asked questions about certain things. And when you didn't give the right answer, then I'm sure you got in trouble.
Yeah, it was that, or they just weren't available for, you know, like a lot of it comes from they didn't encourage me, or if I did something that I felt was a personal accomplishment, like I drew a picture or whatever, you know, how kids can get excited about whatever, my dad especially just wouldn't, he wasn't available, and it was just
response. So it was an insecure kind of attachment because you never really understood or knew how they were going to react
right.
to certain things that would come up. For you.
Right, and that plays into my self-esteem now.
Right.
And that ties into my communication issues and fears.
Okay. So I think that what's happening is part of the past is coming up for you. Part of the past is coming up for you, and I'm sorry, we just had a technical difficulty, so things that JP were just saying didn't come through. So maybe we can just quickly go through that again, if that's okay. So you were just saying about when you were a little boy, you would bring home a picture or you would bring home a grade, and there was basically very little reaction.
Right, right. Yeah, they weren't available emotionally, so that really played... It had a huge effect on my self-esteem, and I think that's why even when something good happens, I don't get excited about it because I think that it's going to fail.
Right, because of what you were used to.
Right, so I don't have that kind of reaction typically.
I'd like to bring something that I think is important into light is that JP's dad worked 3 jobs in order to support the family, and he wasn't around physically much because he worked so much.
Right.
And I think that because he was working so much and he wasn't providing the fathership that he should have to the family, I kind of suspect that JP might have some kind of issues or like think of work in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Because your dad was never around
because of work.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I mean, this is something that I thought maybe...
It could, you know, it's interesting how the past can really color the present in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest issue right here is he basically has abandonment issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do know that when he was little and he had allergies and was sick, he wasn't really taken care of properly.
Right.
And even when he communicated to his parents about how he was feeling, think about that, things weren't handled correctly.
Right.
So communication for him was never role modeled correctly.
Right.
And so that can really stifle you, especially when you're not individuated and still very much tethered to those mental disorders that you lived with. When I say mental disorders, it could be something as simple as anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be off the charts, but you tend to carry that into your relationship. And what he carried into this relationship is, even though he's a talented, very creative guy, an out-of-the-box thinker, very funny, like most people with ADD are, he struggles to really get the work that he needs to get, and it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was a little kid, I wasn't good enough, and so now I don't feel like I'm good enough. What do you think?
Sounds about right.
I mean,
it's humiliating and embarrassing to realize that that's what's actually happening. You know? I mean, it seems like it's such a... Learning this about myself and facing it, and it seems so daunting that because it seems that getting beyond it is so far away or such a long path and not a discernible path either.
See, and I can understand where you can look at this and say, wow, this is really daunting and how am I ever going to be able to get there? But I promise you that with the work that you're doing and you continue to do, the individuation work, not only individually with me but in the group that I run, also just releasing it. See, I think where people get stuck is they get really stuck in the past and they really want to hang on to those negative things because that's what they're used to, instead of just coming into the present and releasing them.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely nothing that any one of us sitting here today can do to make your past, JP, better than it was. It is what it is. My past, same thing. It is what it is. Same thing with Lindsay's past, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't change it. But if you can release some of that pain that you experienced, part of it being because of the parents that you grew up with, part of it the ADD symptoms that you weren't aware of when you were a little boy, so you really didn't get the help either that you needed to overcome some of those issues. And you didn't excel as well as you could have because you're a very bright man in school because of those executive function issues. All those things can be released with work. And then you can bring this into the moment. And here's what I want to talk about. I think you have a very supportive, loving wife who cares very deeply about you and wants to be there for you. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So when she tries to talk to you about things and it brings up a lot of the past, I'm wondering if there's a way for you to kind of get into the moment, bring yourself into mindfulness, into the moment when she's talking to you, and understand that this is not your mom or your dad talking to you. This is your wife who loves you. Is that possible?
Yeah. I mean, it's possible, but it's, like I said, it's just, it's kind of shocking to figure, once you figure out that this is, I'm actually still that child, you know, and it's,
right.
So, and then.
Well, you've got to jump on me, because I was 54 before I grew up. You're 42, but you've got an absolute jump on me. But I have an idea for the communication piece. Something that I talk about with other people, too, is checking in. Okay. And so in my relationship, even though my soon-to-be husband is ADD as well, every Sunday night, we sit down and check in with each other. We talk about where we've been the week before, what we've done in terms of work, not physically, because we know that, and where we're going the next week, what I'm working on, what he's working on, so that we kind of hold each other accountable, and that's really, and it's not codependent, because we're both independently coming together. So instead of Aaron, instead of Lindsay being the one who checks in with you, what if you were proactive and went to Lindsay every Sunday night and got a book, your book out, and said, hey, I want to tell you what's going on this week, even if you don't have 20 jobs.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that that would be great, and I know that it's not – the reason that I don't is that there's this guilt when I don't have the work, and the topics, the issue of money is going to come up, obviously, and I feel guilty and ashamed, so I get defensive. So as – hopefully as I grow and become more confident and get more – that coincides with getting more work, then it's going to be easier for me to talk about. And
okay, I want to talk to Lindsay now. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about JP coming to you and saying on a Sunday night, hey, I've only have one job this week. Last week I had two, and the check's due to come in this week. It's going to be X amount of dollars. I do know that we have bills to pay. And I know, Lindsay, that you have a full-time job,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel if he came to you and talked to you about it?
I would love that.
Okay.
I would love that, even if he doesn't consider it good news or if he considers it bad news or, you know, no matter what the news is, I just want to hear it.
Okay.
You know, like. If there's nothing lined up for the next week, then tell me what you have planned to change that.
Okay.
Or, you know, tell me what you're working on in terms of sending resumes out and who you're in contact with and, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean,
okay.
I just want to know that what's going on, and despite the fact that there may not be money coming in, we still need to talk about bills that need to get paid. And
how are you going to do that?
Yeah, because, I mean, some of the bills that are in his name go unpaid and, you know, we get the cancellation notices. And I just didn't even know that they weren't paid. And
okay.
We just need to talk about everything. Ooh. Without me bringing it up, because I feel like when I have to bring it up, I feel like he feels that I'm attacking.
Right, which I understand coming, a person who's ADD,
yeah.
and being a little kid in the last
mm-hmm.
relationship I was in, I understand that. Who is responsible for the bills? Who handles paying the bills?
They're sort of split.
Okay.
Like I handle the bigger bills and he handles like the smaller bills.
Okay. So, Here's a suggestion for you. When you were talking about, the minute you used the word, what is your plan,
mm-hmm.
I kind of felt, and going back to the old place I was in, I kind of felt my back
mm-hmm.
getting up. Okay.
I don't think I say that. It's just kind of like what
okay.
I would like to know.
Right.
But I don't think I say it.
So instead of you even asking the question,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if JP agrees with this, but instead of her even asking the question,
I don't, yeah.
What if you really said to her, okay, it's Sunday night, I'm going to tell you what my plan is for the week. This way,
right.
There are no words that are coming
right.
from Lindsay's mouth that are making you feel defensive or guilty, okay? Because,
mm-hmm.
of course, nobody can make you feel a certain way, but that's coming from within, because
right.
guilt really comes from within. So if you were the one that was proactive, and I like to use that word a lot in this arena, because many of us are not, and then we complain. Well, you know, she or he told me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were proactive and on Sunday night you set a time to do this, you know, not too late, because I know Lindsay has to get up early and go to work, but maybe after dinner. Don't do it during dinner, and don't ever do it in the bedroom, mm-hmm. because that's not a place to talk about stuff like this. You each sit down with your books, and you being proactive say, okay, I have one job this week, and it's on Wednesday. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, these are the things I'm doing to get more work for the following week. Okay? And Lindsay's job then, which I know she's very willing to do, is to say, okay, that's okay. And then here's the issue, the bills. Okay. Lindsay, do you feel like at times some of that information may be hidden because it's not being paid?
Yeah. I think sometimes that it's intentionally not talked about because it's, I think he considers it bad news and doesn't want to talk about it.
So, again, do you have a, he has a certain list of bills that he has to pay, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's pretty, okay. So along with being proactive and talking to you directly about what he's doing for the week,
mm-hmm.
I think the other piece of the proactive has to be, and here we are with the bills.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to pay these two.
Mm-hmm.
These three are outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So we're partners. What can we do to get these paid?
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel better,
uh-huh.
and he feels better because he's not carrying that load.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that a big part of these feelings that you are having stem from you are really carrying around a lot of weight on your shoulders. And because of the guilt and the shame that stem from years ago in living in your family, you're transferring all that and putting it onto Lindsay when, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see her as approaching you in that way.
You mean in a...
negative, blaming...
Yeah, it's probably my perception, but, I mean... to avoid her having to approach me at all would definitely be a solution, even if it's just me thinking that's an attack or being defensive about it. So, like you said, sidestep that entire, whether it's real or not, sidestep it and avoid it. So
do you think that you would feel so much relief in being able to approach it this way?
I don't think I would feel tons of all the weight lifted off. I mean, what would lift a huge weight would be consistent income, and then collaborate all our bills so that I'm putting money directly in her account, and we don't have to even think about all these bills floating around, who's, you know, but it's just getting stuck in this cycle. It's just one paycheck to the next, and things don't get paid when they should, and then they're, you know, along with the guilt and the shame,
it becomes
this burden on both of us.
But I guess the question that I'm asking is that, if you were able to get into that proactive place once a week, and...
Yeah, I think it would help, especially if the money's there.
Right. No, I know.
But,
I mean,
yeah,
that's the hard part.
I mean, even if the money's not there, it's not going to be easy, but if it's going to help, you know, obviously it's going to help, so...
And the interesting thing is, in listening to you right now, I'm seeing some of that fear come up when you're talking.
Well, it's just the insecurity, you know, not knowing whether or not the money's going to be there. Having a regular, normal job, wouldn't have to worry about it, knowing that the money's not going to be there.
But that's not the insecurity that I'm seeing. I'm seeing the insecurity of even having the conversation. Whereas I know growing up ADD, when I didn't want to do something that was uncomfortable, I would run away from it because I always thought that was the easy way out or deny it.
Right.
But what I've come to find out since I've grown up is that I have to really deal with things head on, and I have to really understand what the consequences are involved
right.
in my actions or, you know, not or or the positives involved
right.
in my actions, because
right.
it can be both.
Right.
Right? But what I'm seeing in your response to the proactive going to her and talking is there doesn't seem to be the slightest bit of relief in terms of your guilt and apprehension, whereas you have a wife who is, from what I can see, is not demanding and not saying, you have to produce this week or else.
Right, but I don't think that that's not where the guilt comes from.
Okay.
Where the pressure comes from. It all stems from me feeling like I'm not fulfilling my role or expectations that she has and that I have of myself. So I don't think it's that I feel, again, I feel like it's more of a defense and guilt as opposed to being attacked or being her being aggressive or insulting. I think it's based on my headspace about
okay.
it.
So in your headspace, and this is a good segue, I think most of us who struggle with attention deficit and are still holding on to a lot of things that happened in the past, our mindset can kind of define who we are and can also define what we do in so many ways. So my feeling is that if we could work on together releasing those past negative feelings and schemas that are in your head based on what your parents said or didn't do for you, then as you approach the week or you approach your life every day, you're approaching it from a mindful, peaceful, positive place so that when you do go out there and you do start looking for work, whatever kind of work, hopefully it's full-time, when people meet you, they see this positive, informed, bright, intelligent man and not this person who's still very much stuck in the past and shame and guilt comes out.
Right.
See, that's the piece of this that I think is really, really important.
Yeah, I know, and it's frustrating for me because I know this, but it doesn't change the way I feel. You know, I mean, it's like I know these things, and intuitively I understand them, but it's as though once I get into that depressive state, it's just. It doesn't. That's the window that you see that I see out of when I'm in that state. So I mean, I think that in those depressive states are cyclic. So I think that that as I'm coming out of this one, that once I feel it, once I practicing it, yeah, it makes all the sense in the world, and I know that. People can perceive my positive attitude and as well as a negative one, but it's just not so simple just to say, okay, I'm positive today.
No, it isn't, but let me share something about myself. When I was very negative, you know, four and a half years ago, and I often wondered why when I was standing in line at a store or Starbucks and I had a scowl on my face, I often wondered why people didn't, like, you know, engage with me at all. And then when I started to get to that more positive place and
mm-hmm.
positive affirmations every day and feeling better,
yeah.
then when I was in line in Starbucks, it was the law of attraction, and people would come up and they would say hi to me, and I was feeling much better. There is only one person who can get you to this place, and I can give you the tools, but I can't do the work for you.
Right.
And there's so many of us in this population that because when we were younger, people were running after us to help us, that work that we have to do ourselves can be a lot more difficult than other people in other populations. So I guess all I'm saying is that I think it's really, really important that you start doing those positive affirmations and you start getting, even though you don't have a full-time job, you start really getting to a positive place of this, okay? I have a wonderful wife. I have a better life than most people out there because I have a relationship with somebody who loves me. I can promise you that a lot of the couples that I work with, we're not dealing with this. We're dealing with a lot of resentment, a lot of anger, a lot of blame. That isn't here. And it may come if you're incapable of getting to that positive place. Because what I hear Lindsay saying to me is she's looking for you to be a little bit more positive in your approach to life.
Yeah, I agree. The scowl does help, though, sometimes if someone's coming up and trying to save your soul, you know, like the... They always approach Aaron, they always approach Lindsay and sidestep me, so... But.
Yeah.
Nobody ever tries to save him. They're always coming to me.
See, lost cause on my face, but...
See, but those kind of words have to go out of your vocabulary.
I know.
You know, what has to come into your vocabulary now is all the positive feelings that you can make. You can make the positive feelings. And by you moving forward every week, communicating with Lindsay, telling her what's going on, and looking, continuing to look for a job, hopefully a full-time job where you're going to be able to have the same money coming in every week.
Mm-hmm.
That is ultimately what's going to get you, I know, to the better place, but you could absolutely lose that job
the
next day, and then what? So there's got to be, that's what you do, okay? Who you are inside in this individuation process has to be this positive adult who says, you know what, this is just a little blip in my life. I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to be able to pull it together. Look, it was recently, correct me if I'm wrong, that you were diagnosed with ADD.
Yeah.
So for all those years, for those dips that you were going into and those valleys that you were heading for, that's what was going on, and you didn't know that.
Mm.
And I think you got to a place of depression.
Yeah, I understand that there's going to be ups and downs. It's just that sometimes those downs just become overwhelming, and it's like losing not having control of the downward spiral once it gets to a certain point. And once I'm in it, it's not so easy to see a way out, and that's what I fear will happen again, because it seems to surface. Like, I'll be doing well and feeling well, and before I know it, there's this oppressive, terrible depression that I'm stuck into, and it's like how did I get here?
and then there's the chemical imbalance.
Yeah,
that, you know,
I don't want to blame that, but it almost feels like it's beyond my control sometimes.
It absolutely is at times, but I think that you and I have talked a little bit about things that you can do to make that better besides the medication that you're on that may not have pulled you to that place of nirvana, which it doesn't all the time. But exercise.
Right, yeah, absolutely, I agree.
Real important because it gets the endorphins going, and, you know. So I want to ask Lindsay something. When he feels himself spiraling, right, does he come to you?
Mm-mm.
And I think that this is part of the issue. Now, when two adults live together, because I know myself, I'm getting married September 21st, and my family's coming, right? So I'm stressing about that. But I can sit down with Steve and say, hey, I'm really stressed out about this, and I want to talk to you about it and tell you how I feel, instead of me moping around the house
mm-hmm.
or getting anxious and not telling him what's going on and, you know, possibly not regulating properly. So I get proactive immediately and go to Steve and say, hey, can you just sit down and listen to me for a minute because
mm-hmm.
I'm just not feeling real good. And how would you feel if JP came to you and said, hey, I need a little bit of help here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm spiraling downward. What would be your response?
I would love for him to come to me with that because typically, I mean, he just withdraws and doesn't want to talk about it. And
how does that make you feel when he does that?
Really sad and alienated and, yeah.
Did it bring back any of your childhood?
Well, yeah. I mean, I definitely was alienated in my own family, so
right.
it doesn't,
right.
it's scary for me to experience it in my own marriage.
Right. Do you ever get yourself, do you ever feel that yourself, you're getting down, feeling down?
Oh, sure, I have my, you know, I think a lot of women have their down, you know, time of the month or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I seem to have that kind of cycle where just for no reason I feel sad and
right.
depressed. And it usually lasts
throwing
a couple of...
around the room?
No.
Well, that was me.
No.
Yeah.
Just kind of sad and lonely and
do you talk
depressed.
To JP about that?
I think so. I think he gets tired of hearing about it once a month, so...
You think so?
Well, you know, I just kind of get on that, poor me, nobody likes me. And then he's like, oh, not this again.
But you go to him and talk to him about it.
I think I do, right?
Yeah,
I usually do. I think as a woman, I'm used to talking to people
right.
about them. You know, my girlfriends or,
right.
you know, Jeff's my best friend, too.
JP. Which is great. Yeah, which is great. JP's your best friend.
Yeah,
which is great. That's why your relationship is really able to stay together because you do have that foundation,
mm-hmm.
which is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess as time goes on, if none of this changes at all, then we're going to get to a place where we don't want to get to,
mm-hmm.
where everybody's going to start thinking, well, what am I doing? I'm trying to be supportive, and I'm not really getting the information that I need. But here's an idea, too, for you, Lindsay. So if you notice that JP looks like kind of down, I would ask him, is this a good time to talk?
Mm.
Because many times, especially in the man world, they don't wear their emotions on their sleeve,
mm-hmm.
and they're not as willing to communicate openly on the spot as
mm-hmm.
we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can just
right.
get into it right away.
Right, yeah.
And so I'm wondering, JP, would that be helpful to you?
Yeah, I think so. But it as far as when I get into that depressive state, you probably know how this feels. It's like I don't want to open up at all to anyone because I feel like it's going to affect them and they're going to get my depression. I feel like it can almost be contagious, you know, like there's this.
Well, but I think that's more for people who are not in intimate relationships.
Right. Yeah, I understand. I know. And I know all these things, but it's like when it's happening, it's just, I don't want to share the way I feel because it feels horrible. And I don't want the person that I love to feel that.
Okay.
I know it doesn't make sense, but
I think
at the time and when it happens, that's the way it works.
Well, what you're doing in not sharing, and you don't have to share right away. That's why I brought up the checking in, like, is this a good time to talk?
Right.
But what you're doing is she's feeling alienated. She's
yeah.
feeling way out on a limb, and that feeling comes up of, okay, what do I do?
Right.
How do I really grab this person and get them to talk to me without this ending up being codependent, which is not what I want this to be. So you have the right to say to her, you know what, right now I'm just not in a good place to talk, but I'll tell you what, and here's the rule, you have 24 hours, okay, to get back to her, and you can say, I'll get back to you within 24 hours. So that could be an hour later, or it could be 23 hours later. But that's the rule. When I work with couples in communication, you can't just say, I don't feel like talking about this right now, and then it goes away. Because believe me, that pile under the rug, because what people
right.
kind of, is going to get so big, you won't be able to open the door. Mm-hmm. So you really have to deal with situations as they come up. And again, this is what adults do. Mm-hmm. We deal with situations as they come up. And I empathize 100% with your feelings of depression, because I've been depressed. I spent a good portion of my life not even knowing I was depressed. It was one of the co-occurring disorders with ADD, and I had a dysthymia, and it was horrible. Once I went on Prozac many years ago, I, for the first time in my life, realized what it was like to feel happy.
Right.
You know, and now I'm not on it anymore and doing great. I've been off of it for 15 years and never needed it again because I really did the work that I needed
right.
to do. And I'm not saying to anybody who's listening that medication, you shouldn't be on medication, because if you need it, you've got to be on medication. And some people with severe depression most likely are on it for the rest of their life. And that's okay.
In addition to the work.
In addition to the work. That's exactly right. But I just really believe that this communication between the two of you is not in the best place it could be in. And I think, I know that it makes Lindsay feel kind of outside the circle, and you're alone in the circle, and not being validated. And I understand that. So I want to ask Lindsay, we were just talking about you being there for JP. If he wasn't feeling well, you'd be open to him saying, hey, I'm really just not in a good place, and, you know, I'm feeling this, this, and this, whatever it is. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling low frustration tolerance. I feel like I'm going to get angry. And you're there to listen to him through that. What else would you say in your relationship, besides this specific issue of the job and not sharing information, what else would you say is ADD interfering in this relationship, in JP's ADD?
I think he does sometimes have a hard time multitasking or switching gears to be able to handle new priorities as they come in. You know, I think he tends to procrastinate.
Okay.
And if a new priority comes in, he doesn't quite know where it fits on the priority list.
Okay.
You know, like a hard time judging what is
okay.
more important to take care of, you know, first or something like
that. Okay, and is that frustrating sometimes for you?
Well, it's just frustrating that, I mean, I'm pretty good at prioritizing and not procrastinating, and I just would like for him to feel like he would want to approach me for advice about it.
Okay.
Instead of me just, like, you know, kind of feeling sort of bossy or whatever and telling him what to do, I'd rather, you know, maybe during our weekly talks that we're going to start, maybe talk about what all the priorities are for the week, and maybe we could kind of troubleshoot and you know, kind of come up with a good order for them.
Now, that's good, because that's a proactive thing that JP is going to be doing.
Right.
In coming to you. I don't, again, want this to become codependent.
Yeah.
Where you're helping him.
Right.
Too much. But I do believe that in adult relationships, that everybody has different strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so we kind of play off the strengths of the other person,
mm-hmm.
not taking advantage of them to
mm-hmm.
let them do everything for us,
mm-hmm.
but asking them, so what do you think? I have these six things that I have to get done
mm-hmm.
this week, and I'm having a difficult time prioritizing, do you think you could take a look at this for me
mm-hmm.
and tell me what you think would be the best way for me to accomplish this?
Yeah. And I don't want it to sound like it's all me helping him and I'm so perfect
right.
or anything like
that.
I don't see it that way. He definitely helps me in a lot of ways because I get so anxiety-ridden about, like, just minute things that, you know, I shouldn't get upset or anxiety-ridden
like
about.
No.
For example, like, you know, okay, somebody's, you know, the rental agency's coming over, they have to look at the house, and I'm, you know, worried about every little detail, and, you know, well, things slip through the cracks, and I'm, you know, full of anxiety about, oh, gosh, we didn't vacuum. They're going to see all the dog fur on the floor, and, oh, what are they going to think of us, and, oh, it's the end of the world, and so he's like, don't worry, it's fine. Like, he'll talk me down from that.
It's great.
We're clean people.
We're very clean people. It's just that, you know, like, we didn't have time to vacuum before they came over, you
right.
know?
Exactly.
Even though we vacuum every week, the dog is shedding like crazy, and it's hard to keep up with. Yeah.
But you have a hard time letting go of
yeah.
the intricate details.
Right.
Whereas you do not.
Sometimes. Certain things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's very helpful.
Yes.
In being able to take you down.
Yeah, and when I've had a really stressful day, I talk to him about it, and he's really good at listening, and he really, like, you know, sympathizes and empathizes and is really a great friend to talk to, you know.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really appreciate that. And he also does a really good job of bringing humor into situations that are otherwise tragic.
He really does.
Like my family. He can really show me the humor in, you know, my family's dysfunction, so which is great, you know. I appreciate that.
I think it's wonderful.
And so I just didn't want it to sound like, you know, he has ADD, he's such a problem, it's terrible. No, I mean, he offers great things to our marriage.
Well, see, and that's the whole thing. When I work with couples, I try to tell them that behaviors are absolutely separate from the person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people will argue this point with me, but I will go toe-to-toe with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because at my core and at JP's core, we are really, really good people.
Oh, yeah.
And we're fun and we're creative mm-hmm. and we're out-of-the-box thinkers. But we have some behaviors
sure.
that get labeled as who we are, and
right.
that's not who we are.
Yeah.
And
it's been that way our whole life.
Our whole life. That's exactly right. So it's very difficult at times for people to interface with us, especially
mm-hmm.
when we make people angry. I mean, I'm not in that place anymore, but I certainly was in my last marriage, and a lot of the terrible, disgusting things that he said to me really had me sitting up and thinking, wow, maybe I am really like this, which
mm.
was really put me on the road to getting better, but that was behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't who I am. And what I love about Lindsay is that she sees you as a total person and says, I love this man because at his core, he's really, really a great person.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what you have to do. You have to start feeling that because you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really felt that and really believed that at your core, you were this wonderful individual, and you have this wonderful wife who loves you so much and wants to be there for you in any way she can, you would really start to feel better. But you are so tethered to that part of your life where that negative stuff comes up, it's like you're comfortable,
mm-hmm.
very comfortable. Because, like, in therapy, they call it homeostasis, where you don't want to give it up.
I think it's like I don't have addictions, like smoking. I've never had problems with addictions in that sense. But it seems like the way I see people are addicted to things, it feels almost like this is my addiction.
Exactly.
You know, because it's like I don't consciously make it happen. Like, I don't want this to happen. I don't want these results. I don't want to feel this way. But I somehow keep going back to it.
Because it's comfortable for
right.
you. It's what you're used to. It's what you've been, the place that you've stayed in for your whole life, and you have to now start to figure out how to step out of that comfort zone.
Mm.
Because it really isn't a healthy place for him to be sitting in that negative place because of all the things that were said to you or not said.
Right.
Because one of the things I do remember is at group Wednesday night, the adult support group that I run in Torrance, California, for Chad, what we talked about Wednesday night was childhood and what it was like for all the adults in the room. And there were some horrific, horrific stories that all
right,
of us
absolutely, yeah.
heard. And one of the things that I did notice, because JP's in the group, was he wasn't talking about issues concerning his childhood because there weren't any. I mean, there just wasn't that not that there weren't any issues, but your parents weren't standing over you with a hammer telling you you got to get A's or beating you with a spoon. They were not available. They were really in their own world, and you were kind of left out there to fend for yourself.
Yeah, and it's with the that going back to that feeling that it's an addiction, it seems like so counterintuitive to find comfort in discomfort, you know. So it's a new concept to me, and I think that's why it might seem why it feels so daunting, or it seems like it's such a big hurdle for me right now, because it's I sort of just figured it out, you know, what this cycle is about, you know.
It's and, about like having an addiction.
Right, and it's it just seems like so counterintuitive to feel comfort and discomfort. So
because
that's a brand new concept. So I'm.
It's good.
But it's good because now I have a place to start.
Exactly.
So.
But I will tell you that you are not alone. There are many, many people in this population who, when I talk to them, the things that come out of their mouths are so sad because it's all about negativity.
Mm.
But again, if you grew up
right.
like that, it's really what you have to understand. Homeostasis in the world of therapy is, even though it's dysfunctional, we're comfortable staying in there because we don't want change.
Right.
Because
we're
afraid.
The fear, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we start changing things up, then what's going to happen? So if you all of a sudden start becoming, you know, Pollyanna and being positive all the time, your fear is, well, how's that going to work for me? Because I have to release and let go all of those negative thoughts and feelings that I've had my whole life that really have kept you in a lot of ways going.
Right.
Even though it's not healthy, it's what's kept you there. And what's happening is Lindsay, in her relationship with you now, is really starting to get a little concerned because she wants more of positive interaction with you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that...
Yeah. I see him as so, he's so bright and so funny, and
he really
has
is.
So many talents. I mean, he can fix anything, and I just feel that if he were to let go of that negativity, which, you know, he's lived with for so long, it's like there would be no boundaries, you know. He would accomplish and achieve so many great things, and
he would just keep on going.
Yeah, you know, and I personally would like to be more positive myself, so that's something I want to work on also. And I think we could definitely reinforce each other to be more positive.
So let me ask you something. I know that there's, you know, money constraints. I understand that, but do you guys make time every week to do stuff together?
We do a lot together, but it's not like a set time or anything. I mean, we typically walk the dog together, and you know, work schedule permitting. But yeah, I mean, we tend to do a lot together. We make dinner together, and well, he does most of the cooking,
which is great.
He's great.
Which is really great, because by the way, here's a positive, okay? Most people with ADD can't cook, and I'm going to tell you why, because we can't get everything done at the same time.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
one of the things issues that I always had
yeah.
with cooking. Now I'm a little better at it. It's not my favorite thing, but
yeah,
yeah so that's a big plus.
He's an amazing cook, but the kitchen is absolutely destroyed in the process. So he cooks and I clean.
That's great. I have the same thing with Steve,
yeah.
so I get that, yeah. And I'm a much better cleaner than he is, probably from my upbringing
yeah.
of everything had to be perfect.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, you know, that you do absolutely do things together.
Right. I mean, I'd like to kind of set more time aside for that kind of stuff. Yeah, we always kind of talk about, oh, we should do date night. And then, you know, because the money issue, it just sort of fizzles out. You know,
well, it's hard.
Yeah,
but you could do a date night. What Steve and I do a lot is we do candlelight dinners here.
That's really nice.
And we just turn yeah. on the music, so we dance too, which was great. And the dog doesn't bother anybody. You know, when the kids aren't here, home from college, we can do this, and it's really fun. It's like
yeah.
going to a restaurant, and
yeah.
guess what? The food's better,
right.
mm-hmm. and the service is better, and you know, it's a lot of fun. So you might want to try that.
Yeah,
just to have a candlelight dinner together. And
we spent a lot of quality time together when we were exercising more
right.
together.
That's a big, big one.
And I think that we need to get that back into our routines.
I think it's a big one.
Because we would go out running together and, you know, we'd talk along the way and it was really helpful, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So,
In terms of intimate communication, and when I talk about intimate communication, I'm not only talking about people in, you know, heterosexual or homosexual relationships. I'm talking about with your children, with
right.
your family. So besides the work issue, okay, and he being able to, which he's going to work on now, being proactive, and how do you feel your communication from an intimate standpoint has been?
That I don't. I think that is lacking right now. I think that he has felt pretty awful about himself and therefore doesn't want to open up intimately.
Okay.
So I think there's definitely a lot of room for
improvement
there.
Is that true? What she's saying?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. And does that stem from you just not feeling good?
Right.
Okay. So let me throw something out. I understand, you know, your issues with the job and, you know, and money and paying bills and all that and issues from years ago that led you here. But what if something in your life right now could really start to grow and blossom? So what if I said, I think the two of you should really spend some time every week intimately communicating with each other. And that is where you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone because you're still very much tethered to those negative thoughts and feelings and all that that comes up for you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I just heard Lindsay saying is that this is something that she could really, would really help her, would really make her feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if that's one thing that you could work on in terms of turning around those negatives into positives and setting up that candlelight dinner and sitting down and instead of talking about what you didn't do,
mm-hmm.
talk about what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be intimate with each other. Talk about, you know, your life together and plans that you have and things that you want to do that really help to connect the two of you in a positive way. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that that's at a certain time that was a big part of our relationship, you know, because we still do, but not obviously not consistently or I mean, just simple things like talking about the kinds of design, the designs that we like and the type of house that we want. Or,
right.
You know, and I think that those are the, to me, those are the things that really feel the most real are this, are the simple, small things, because if something so simple and small can feel so magical, then the big moments are that much more, you know? So
right.
it's definitely important. And it's, again, when I'm feeling the way I do, it's, you know, I just don't even, those concepts don't even cross my mind.
So let me ask you, when you first were together, okay, and I really, before this show ends, you have a very funny story about your first date, and I do want you to share that. But when you were first together, what was exciting about being together? What was the thing you could say to me, wow, I think about that, and that was such a great time?
It was like there was a force beyond our doing that brought us together, and we both acknowledged it, and I think that was because we both weren't, neither of us were looking for a relationship. We were kind of hesitant to get into relationships, and after we met and started dating, it was just like a whole new reality for me. And
what made that dating time so much fun? I'm trying to get you guys back to the beginning for a few minutes.
I think there was a real sense of adventure and just kind of, I don't know, just neither of us really had like direction at that point in terms of like pursuing careers or anything like that. It was just sort of like a carefree, fun, let's be wild and do anything time in our lives.
Okay.
And then not long after that, I think we both realized that we couldn't live like that forever. And so we started to pursue careers and growing up and being adults. And I think that's when a lot of, like, you know, sort of pressure and stress and everything came into play.
So let me ask you, though, would it be a good idea maybe possibly for you to do some of that stuff once in a while that you used to do? Like just to get out there and just be reckless and have a great time?
So, yeah.
That would really bring you back to that intimate place that you know, how you fell in love. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I like to do this with couples that I work with because I think sometimes we really lose that.
Mm-hmm.
And that connection in the beginning is like just so powerful.
Right.
And the way you describe it is just, that sounds like it was just so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, we were going out to costume parties and all kinds of, you
How
know.
How much fun is that?
We had a lot of fun, yeah.
Did you design the costumes?
Well, sort of. We yeah, and that's, I think a lot of it, like you were saying, once we started getting our ideas of, you know, we want a family, and so then work just overtakes our, well, me looking, and once I do get work, it's like I really focus on that, and Lindsay, of course, she's very dedicated with work, and that, so I think along the way we lost that.
Right. I think
that playfulness.
Yeah, I think that playfulness can come back very easily, especially with, you know, JP being so incredibly creative,
mm-hmm.
and you can think about going back to that reckless time. I love it. I mean, I just think that would be great. You don't have to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, even if you guys did it once a month,
mm-hmm.
to just come up with something out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best. You're out of the box thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's us. Out of the box, and you're pretty creative yourself. So you both can, 1 month it's his idea, the next month it's yours, and you plan it and you surprise each other,
mm-hmm.
and you go and just have fun without thinking about what else is going on.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's really a good way to reconnect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
So I'm all for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd love you to do is, because I think it's so funny, and I know the first show that I did on relationships was on dating, just fun with dating, and you, JP, had tried to call in but couldn't get in to the show, and I would really like it if you would just share the story of your first date.
Sure, I'll start it. I was living in Sacramento, and Lindsay was in Oakland at the time, and so I would drive down. It was we'd met at an arts festival and got to know each other, and then we set up a first date. So I was terribly excited, and this was before GPS, and I made an attempt to find out where she lived. Well, I knew where she lived, but I made an attempt to try to find her house just with phone directions, and I was a little late. Do you want to take the rest of it?
Yeah, we had scheduled, I think, to have dinner at about 7 o'clock, and about 7 o'clock rolled around, still JP's not there, and I'm starving, and, you know, he calls about, I don't know, a half hour later and says he's lost, so I give him directions again from wherever he is, and about an hour goes by, and he calls again, and I say, where are you? He says he's at the airport. He doesn't know how he got there. It's clear at the other end of town. I tell him how to get back to where I live. And, quite a bit of time goes by again, and I get another call, and he's closer this time, but still is lost.
And you haven't eaten anything.
I haven't eaten anything, and I get really grumpy and just kind of out of it when I'm really hungry, and I was like, I guess, low blood sugar or something. And he shows up finally around 10 o'clock when he was supposed to have been there at 7. And he shows up, and I, at this point, I was so hungry, I couldn't think or say anything. I was just like, must have food. So we finally went to go eat, and I think they had already closed their kitchen. Like, okay, forget it. Just get me a drink. I need a strong drink now.
So did you guys laugh about it?
Yeah, we eventually, we finally got some food somewhere. I don't remember how. And, I was like,
I think it's really funny, and it speaks to the relationship that you even had a second date.
Yeah.
So there had to be some kind of sparks there.
Yeah.
Because many times when things like that happen, the person who's waiting gets bent out of shape for whatever reason. I wouldn't, but a lot of people, would say, you should have been here on time. It's such a classic ADD story because, what I do now, and I tell people this all the time, is if I have to go someplace and I don't know where I'm going, I'll go the day before so that I know exactly where I'm going so I don't have to panic about the next day and how do I get there. But it's just, it's us. I mean, we just fly by the seat of our pants.
We do have a little joke that he drives with a paper bag over his head because he sometimes, it's like as if he has no idea where he is, no direction. We've passed our house before. Like, he didn't know we were in our neighborhood.
That's very funny.
Where are you going? Home? Really? Because we just passed.
But wait a minute. But you're off thinking creative thought.
Yeah, it's like, autopilot, and I just tend to get involved in some idea that I go into tangents on. And
well, because
she has a built-in
GPS?
A built-in compass. She can kind of just feel where things are. It's really bizarre, so it works for somehow.
But you,
I'm getting better there. Right?
Well, you have shared with me in the past that there's times when you're in the shower and will completely lose track of time because you've got this whole creation in your head that you're making, building, and it gets you really excited to think about finishing up that creation because that's how creative he is.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like going, you know, when you're driving sometimes and you forget you could be driving. I've heard people without ADD say this, but they'll be you'll be driving 5 miles and you will have no recollection of that past 5 miles because it's kind of like you go into this autopilot state. But I tend to do that when I have an idea of something that, like a way a machine might work or the way something that an idea that I have for a project. And it's
wonderful.
Well, yeah, but it can be very distracting. So it's like I want to be able to keep that gift and but still be productive and
right
in real life.
Right.
Or tie that into my work somehow.
Right.
And that would be ideal. So I mean, I think we've talked about that as far as, you know, not wanting to lose it, but at the same lose that that way of thinking, but at the same time.
Well, there's a time thing.
Right.
Where we lose track of time. We're in the shower for an hour, we don't even realize we're in the shower. Because we're thinking about, you know, something we're going to build or invent.
Yeah, I turned off the shower and I was trying to complete the thought, and it was like 10 minutes went by. I was freezing. My feet were cold. I wasn't even aware of it until, you know, I completed the thought.
Right.
So
right, which really speaks to how our minds work, because we get these ideas in our head that we want to complete. And I think that part of driving past, I had a father like that. That's why it makes me laugh, because my father would drive past our house, and I'd be going, "Dad, where are you going? What do you mean?" Then he'd get mad at me, you know, because
right.
You know, because he made the mistake, and I was like, "We just passed the house." "No, we didn't." "Okay, yeah, we did." You know, and he was a strong Italian, so you really did not want to argue with him. But he was very creative. He was a photographer and just off the charts creative, and he was thinking about things, and
mm-hmm.
you could see that his wheels were spinning in his head. So, you know, that's part of you not finding the house. I think
right,
that's so
right.
funny.
Yeah, and I think that's part of my current frustration, too, is not being able to make those ideas manifest, you know, being able to physically work those ideas out. So that all ties in with, you know, getting a hold of this or maintaining this this path of adulthood and being able to have the time and the organization to do these things, because it gets I think that's part of the reason I get depressed too, is because I have those urges,
those ideas
and urges to do these things and not following through, you know.
Do you, when you get out of the shower, if you're thinking about it, or wherever you are, do you sketch it out?
I have. Yeah, sometimes I do, but I try to write down the ideas because I can usually, if I can see what, you know, the words, then I can open up the Rolodex and pull the idea out.
Because I think it's really important. You may come up with something that could be really big for you, and you may, you know, end up on the, what is the show, the Sharks or Shark Tank show where you're telling people about your invention, you know,
it's that good,
and,
but
you know, but that's how we think, that's how our mind works.
Right,
we take it, you know, 6 miles down the road and
right.
we're still in the planning
exactly,
stage.
Exactly.
But I think it's great because this population, most of us are entrepreneurial because it's very difficult for us to work for other people because we don't really live up to their complete expectations, although we're the ones that are probably more brilliant than half the people in the office. So, you know, look at Richard Branson. He has, you know,
mm-hmm.
Virgin America, and that's an incredible airline. And he's extremely ADD, but he makes this work. You know, he's got these ideas, and he surrounded himself with people that could really take this to fruition, and it happened, you know. And that's, I think, a big plus for us. So whatever ideas you have, you should definitely keep keep it going, because there's somebody out there that you can take this to,
mm-hmm.
that could help you bring it to the next level. Has he ever discussed with you about any of these ideas that he's had?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
It's news to me.
Okay.
He didn't tell me about standing in the shower.
See, that's what you're missing out on. You're not communicating these funny things.
I think it's
to
hilarious.
Lindsay, and she really needs to hear them, because you guys need to laugh every day. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's part of what life is all about,
yeah,
you know?
I agree.
And so I think that letting her know your deepest, darkest secrets, and that possibly could come from, and I know where it comes from, your childhood where nobody really cared.
Mm-hmm.
But she does. This is not your mom or your father. This is somebody who's totally different who really wants to hear about it. People have been extremely successful inventing things and putting them out there. I mean, look at some of the stuff that's out there. This new hose that, you know, folds up to like 2 inches, and if you fold it, you haven't seen it? Boy, I wish I invented that.
I know, some of the most simple things, yeah.
This hose, when you fill it up with water, becomes a 70-foot hose, but when it doesn't have any water in it, it's like can fit in a box this big. And if you think about, I know when I had a house, I was tripping over hoses
all
the time.
Yeah, we need that. We wrestle with those every day.
Yeah, so, I mean, what a great idea, and how come that wasn't me that came up with that? I bet you it was somebody who has attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
I'll bet you any amount of money.
Yeah.
So,
but follows through.
Yeah, but this person followed through, yeah. But, I mean, there are people out there who can help you to follow through and get to that better place. And you, as you grow up and individuate, are really going to be able to follow through on your own. So let's just sum up a little bit of what's going to happen.
Okay.
So, JP, you're on board.
Yes, absolutely.
To approach her proactively and to tell her what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to tell him, too. Because I think the both of you need to share with each other what's going on in the up-and-coming week.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about doing this on Sundays?
Yeah, we're usually...
That works for me.
Yeah, Sunday's probably the best day, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whatever time you decide, I'm not going to set that up, but
right.
But he's coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even going to ask,
mm-hmm.
because in he being proactive, then he doesn't feel like you're asking him
right.
anything,
right.
or he doesn't feel put upon, or like he gets defensive. So he's coming and saying, okay, here's what I've got going next week, and these are the bills that really need to be paid. They're outstanding. So what do you want to do about these? And the more, and I know you're positive, that's who you are, but the more positive that you can be through this whole process, the better he's going to feel about being able to come to you. So we're on board for that.
Yes.
Okay. And then the other thing is we're going to get reckless. We're once a month, we're going to get reckless. I want to hear about these things that you do. I think this would be so much fun. Maybe I'll decide to do them
okay.
too. Not
yeah.
with you. No, but, you know. But, yeah, you have to tell me about them. Like, when Halloween comes around,
right.
like, I would have a Halloween party, you know. You have a bunch of friends, I'm sure, that you could invite over. But before that, every month, I don't know who's going to go first. You decide. But you guys have to surprise the other one with something that's really out there and reckless that reminds you of the beginning of your relationship. And JP and I are going to continue to work alone. He's coming to group. We're going to individuate him. That's going to happen. You want to grow up.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
So you've really got that burning to grow up. And you, Lindsay, are going to still come in, and we're going to work as a couple together, and you and I can also spend some time alone. So I really want to thank the two of you for being on the show today. We have about 10 minutes left, and so what I'm going to do is I have a couple of questions I'm going to answer, so thank you, and I hope someday you guys will come back and spend some time
yes,
with
absolutely.
Us again.
Thanks for having us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're
great.
Welcome.
Thank you
for being here. So I have a couple of questions, and one of them is, do you think that establishing and sticking to routines is important for ADD people to get things done and accomplish things on a regular basis? Yes, I absolutely do. I think that schedules are probably the most important thing for people with ADD. And when you establish routines and you keep it that way so the family works together and functions together as a unit. Here's the one thing that I would suggest, though. I think that if the person with ADD in this family gets bored doing the same thing every week, that possibly maybe you could switch it up. So he or she could be doing something a little bit different, and even where the kids are concerned. And when you're doing chores with kids, especially kids with ADD, let's make it fun. I heard somebody say a couple of weeks ago that they would crank up the stereo in their house on Saturday mornings, and everybody would start dancing, and then they would start getting their work done, and the kids loved it, and now the kids are grown up, and they talk about it. Like, this is how we got our chores done. So that's really an amazing idea, and I think all of us should really keep in mind when we're dealing with spouses with ADD or children with ADD, we're incredibly creative. It's a creative population. So let's find ways to get things done creatively, because I think that is probably the best way to do it. Okay, I want to thank whoever posted that question on my website. And so here's the next question. So I have a wife. I like that checking in once a week idea. And what point does it become codependent? Because as a husband and wife team, aren't we supposed to communicate to each other all the time? Okay. It doesn't have to become codependent if we're each taking responsibility when we're checking in. So each one of us are saying, the person with ADD or without, talking about what it is that we're doing that week. We're not, at that point in time, really asking for help. We're just telling each other what we're doing. If you need help from your spouse or your significant other, then you need to talk about it with them. Don't expect them. This is where it becomes codependent. When, for example, if Lindsay would go to JP all the time and say, okay, what do you need to do so I can help you? That would really set up a codependent relationship, because then he's depending on you to come to him to get things done. The non-codependent is when two people come together and you each have the things you're going to work on and you discuss them. And if one or the other person, whether ADD or not, believe that they need help, then they're going to ask the other person, hey, you're better at this than me. I do that with Steve all the time. There are things that he's much better at than I am. So I'll say, hey, you're better at this. So you think maybe you could just, like, give me some advice? And, you know, he's right there. And it's not like I expect him every single time now to take that on and do it. But I'm going to him in a healthy way. So you want to make sure you keep it healthy where you're not so dependent on the other person that you can't function. And that's where I think the whole codependent thing comes into play. So thank you, whoever sent in that question, and I hope that my answer was satisfactory. So we've got a couple of minutes left, and so I think what I'm going to do is just sign off a little early and thank everybody for listening. Next week, there's not going to be a show. I am heading up to San Francisco where my son is going to turn 26, and so we're going to spend the weekend with him having fun, so no show next week. I want to remind everybody that I run a group in the South Bay, Los Angeles, California, Torrance area. It's held at the Center for Learning Unlimited, and this is really a school for children with attention deficit and autism. And if any of you would like to join our group and you want to let me know, I can actually have you Skyped in to the group. I have one person who Skypes in every week from Palm Springs, so I can figure out, I think it's gotomymeeting.com, where I can figure out how to have more than one person on there because there's another guy who just left our group and moved to Florida and wants to be doing that. So any of you who are listening who want to be a part of that group, you can contact me on my website. You can go to my forum on my website and contact me. Leave me your information, and I will get back in touch with you. In addition to that, if any of you live in the Los Angeles area and you need a coach or a therapist, contact me again at the forum section of my website. Leave me your name and number, or you can also contact me on Facebook, and that would also go for the people who would want to Skype into the meeting. My Facebook page is missadd.com. So again, I want to remind everybody that attention deficit disorder is a gift. We are all gifted. We are out-of-the-box thinkers. We are very creative. We just need all to grow up, no matter what age we are, become individuated so that we can take responsibility for our own stuff and really begin to get in control of our negative symptoms. And one more thing before I sign off, I want to thank everybody for listening today. Again, this is Justine Rutolo, also known as Miss ADD. And remember to please stay in the moment. Have a good day.